Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 45 days to Election Day when the 45th President Donald Trump will try to become the 47th president. His supporters casted their ballots as early voting opened in Virginia Friday.
He's a proven leader. He has done this before. He has survived two assassination attempts, and he keeps going.
Trump will be in North Carolina tonight. His campaign says Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Robinson not expected to attend the rally. CNN reported Robinson allegedly posted inflammatory comments on a message board of a pornography website over a decade ago. He called it salacious tabloid lies. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned Friday in Georgia and Wisconsin, emphasizing the importance of abortion access. Lebanese officials now say at least 31 people were killed in Israel's strike on Beirut Friday. Israel says was targeting top Hezbollah commanders and killed one linked to the 1983 U.S. embassy bombing. This is
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest on the Kennedy ballot case. The Wisconsin Supreme Court announced Friday they will be deciding whether or not Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s name will need to remain on the ballot. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will be trying to reach a decision as expeditiously as possible, as election clerks have already begun sending out absentee ballots with Kennedy's name on them. Kennedy has been trying to remove his name from the ballot in battleground states in an effort to not take away votes from Donald Trump, whom he endorsed in August. Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a bill to help businesses who rely on a cold, snowy winter when we won't exactly get one. We had a mild winter last season, slowing down tourism. Seven counties across northern Wisconsin lost an approximate $6.5 million. The Winter Recreation Small Business Recovery Act would help small businesses qualify for disaster relief when they don't have the weather they need to thrive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, bro. I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically, it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Little breezy today, highs near 80 degrees, showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, showers and storms possible tonight with a low around 47. Then things are cooler, 64 for a high on Sunday, 66 the high on Monday, 68 for Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Broadcasting on the Sporting Journal Radio Network, wherever you get your podcasts, or watch on YouTube.
Well,
we're here at the 2024 Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, presented by Onyx. Know where you stand with Onyx.
And our guest now is Jeremy Smith.
I fish, I hunt, and always will.
It's just a lookout for your everyday hunter, angler, and trapper that's out there.
A Fish on Forever production. This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right, and for a lot of our viewers and listeners, it's the waterfowl opener. Should be a national holiday, in my opinion. Minnesota opener should be a national holiday.
No.
Let's go. No. Maybe if it was in October, I'd be more excited about it. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Hey.
It's David Eckhart over there.
Hello, hello.
Love that shirt, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
Make duck season late again.
There you go. Show it again, David.
Microphone's in the way.
Make duck season late again, paid for by Minnesota Hunters for an October opener. We'll have a chance for you to win that. I'll tell you how in just a little bit. We also are going to talk muzzleloaders because I want to get into muzzleloader hunting, David. It's kind of fun.
It is a great season.
Yeah, it's another opportunity, and we'll talk about one of the reasons why I want to get into it in a little bit. Tony Smotherman, man, we had a great interview with him. He's a neat dude.
Yeah, that was a cool guy to listen to. He had a lot of information.
Yeah, so he is going to break down muzzleloaders for you. If you're looking to get into it, or if you're looking to step up your game in the muzzleloader world, or maybe start doing some traveling, he's going to talk about all of that coming up. He's been in the industry for a long time, had a magazine, did a bunch of TV shows. He's on a bunch of TV shows now, and he's the head of influencer relations for BPI, which has CVA and Bergara rifles. So great conversation with Tony coming up. Also, Joe Henry will join us for Lake of the Woods Fishing Report coming up in a little bit, and we'll get to our headlines. If you're in the outdoors in Minnesota, we have headlines relating to your world in just a second. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors this week?
The official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever is Invergrove Toyota. When looking for your new rig, head to Invergrove Toyota. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall or winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. On X Hunt, see private land boundaries, recent imagery, offline maps, and Minnesota-specific hunt layers. Download the Onyx Hunt app today. Tazen Lake Lodge, catch world record lake trout and giant pike at Saskatchewan's Tazen Lake. Learn more at tazenlake.com. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, catch it all at Devil's Lake. Prairie Sportsman, new season wrapped up this spring, but we are filming new episodes right now, and you can watch old episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, fish Devil's Lake this fall or winter. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. And Guardian Eagle Resort, plan a trip for next summer. Go fish the Ontario waters of Guardian Eagle Resort. You can fly directly to the lodge from the Twin Cities. Learn more at guardianeagle.com.
If you want one of those Make Duck Season Late Again shirts, they're only $20. You can get them on our website, sportingjournalradio.com. Just click on store or click on the right side where it says watch and win. It's also, I think, right in the middle too. And you can go there, put your email address in, and then there's a link to watch this very show. So if you're watching right now, go to our website and put your email in first and watch it. And then everyone that does that will be entered to win one of those Make Duck Season Late Again shirts.
Headlines.
All right, the Minnesota DNR staff will host two events to provide an overview of the plan at Carlos Avery. Its purpose, it'll answer some questions and collect public input, an in-person meeting and an online meeting. Registration is not required for either event. The meetings are Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Carlos Avery WMA in Forest Lake. The online meeting will be October 21st from 6 to 8 p.m. And a link to join the webinar is available on the Carlos Avery page in the Minnesota DNR website. This was kind of a neat story that came out, guys. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Enforcement Division recently recognized four conservation officers, a natural resources pilot, and a forestry division staff person for their life-saving efforts during the previous several months, including natural resources pilot Grace Zeller. On May 18th, she was off duty. She received a phone call from the DNR Enforcement Chief Pilot, Captain Jake Willis. Now, Grace is a pilot with the DNR. There was a report of people injured and missing in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness near Curtin Falls along the Canadian border, and other air assets were not available to attempt a rescue. So she jumped in a helicopter and coordinated with medical, law enforcement, and rescue staff at the scene. She flew into the Boundary Waters in the dark and found a place to land. Which to me is amazing. And then over the course of two flights, transported three medics and two severely wounded individuals to the Ely Airport. The two men died in the incident, but her efforts were instrumental in the survival of two men died, but two other men survived, Kyle Sellers and Eric Grahams, both who live near the Twin Cities. So to me, I mean, to be able to fly in there in the dark and find a place to land, like there's, it's not like there's just helicopter landing pads
right
in the Boundary Waters.
That's so crazy.
It's amazing. And then CEO Tyler Luzignan, I'm probably pronouncing your name wrong, I apologize, but on May 27th, he heard a radio call that several people were trapped in rushing water after their canoes and kayaks had overturned in the Cannon River near Faribault. He was the first law enforcement officer to arrive with a boat and quickly launched it so he and a Rice County Sheriff's Office deputy could assist the stranded paddlers. The water was high and moving extremely fast, but he maneuvered the boat such that he could rescue and bring to shore the three adults and three children whose watercrafts had overturned. That's got to be scary if you're flipping in like rushing water like that.
Yeah, with kids.
With kids, yeah, for sure. So congratulations. Also, conservation officers Mike Cross, Curtis Simonson, and Bryce Volbrecht, and forestry officer Matt Boyer also recognized. Congratulations to all of those guys right there. All right, we want to tell you about a place to go for world-class walleye fishing. Maybe some hunting, maybe some cast and blast opportunities. Check out Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where the walleye bite remains strong through the fall. Catch it all at Devil's Lake. Visit devilslakend.com to learn more and to plan your trip. Speaking of waterfowl, guys, it's the opener here in Minnesota. Dan, you and I were stumbling our blind this week, and it was 88 degrees out.
It's hot out. You know, and honestly, we make fun of that for, you know, we want the duck season later because we do. But how many times? We've also had many October hunts where it's warm. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that's just kind of the nature of the world we live in right now.
I mean, there's just no question it is. And I remember a couple of years ago during our split in early October, it was 90 degrees at the that first week in October during our split.
There's been many 90 degree pheasant openers where it's too hot to even hunt your dog pheasant hunting. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to start cooling off a little bit. But I mean, this is September 21st. So the way Minnesota structures their waterfowl season, it's the Saturday closest to September 24th. And every so often, I think back in 2013, if I remember right, it was also on the 21st. In fact, I was working at a guide business, waterfowl guide place. They also are a wedding venue. And they booked a wedding. They booked a wedding for that day because they did not expect the waterfowl season to be open early because they didn't have the dates yet when they booked the wedding. And so here he is, a guide service, and he couldn't guide the opening weekend because he had a wedding booked for the venue. So it's just too early. I'm sorry. It's just too early. I don't care. And I mean, of course, we want the late season opportunities for mallards when they're fattened up and later in the year. But that being said, we're all going to hunt this weekend.
Yeah, we'll sweat it out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, do you remember, I think it's only supposed to be low to mid 70s, it sounds like.
Yeah, wet. It does cool off and rain. And
but rainy. We've had...
Your butt's rainy?
What now?
It's going to be raining.
You said butt rainy, so I'm wondering what butt rain is now.
No, don't worry about it.
I'm very worried about it now.
This conversation's going in the wrong direction. Oh, man. You know, it's funny. We interviewed Tony earlier. We're going to play it back for you later in the show. But he brought up his Toyota that he had in 1990. And I wanted to say, I bet you're still driving it, too.
Probably.
And if you want a new truck without spending $60,000 to $80,000, we'll take a look at the Toyota Tacoma. Or look at David's in the driveway right now. Starting at just $36,195, Tacoma is the number one selling midsize truck in America, selling more than Chevy Colorado and Ford Ranger combined. It's better than ever for the 24 model year. And it now tows up to 6,500 pounds and will get you where you need to go. And we have a deal for you. will get you $250 off the lowest advertised price, plus an additional $500 off your trade-in. This is a great deal just for our listeners. You have to fill out the voucher, though, at InvergroveToyota.com/FHF. That's InvergroveToyota.com/FHF to claim your trade-in voucher today. David, we talked about fishing this past weekend. Didn't even try.
It was too hot.
I feel like we're waiting for this fall bite and it hasn't happened yet.
No, it's still summer. Too hot. I was canning vegetables.
How's the garden?
It's good. Yeah. Made a bunch of salsa and candied jalapenos and...
Did we talk about what candied jalapenos or cowboy candy? Did we talk about that on the show already?
No.
Explain what that is.
It's basically a pot full of sugar and a little bit of vinegar that you dissolve and put 3 pounds of jalapenos in. Jeez. And they're sweet and spicy.
So do you put them on stuff then, or do you just eat them like a snack at that point?
You could eat them on a chip or use them to cook, you know, as a marinade, or I had them on fish tacos last night and they were pretty good.
Bring some this weekend. My dad would love to
have
some.
I'm sorry I forgot them today.
Well, that's okay. My dad will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we all planning on get together? This is a on-air production meeting.
We might as well.
Yeah.
Kind of dumb not to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Because you're hunting close by, but not in the same place we are.
Yep.
But we should all get together.
We'll see how the rest of this show goes. Maybe I don't want to see you guys. Yeah, butt rain going on. So.
Wow. Weird. Oh, my gosh. Well, that seems like a good place to talk about one of our sponsors right there. Let's talk about...
I bet there's no butt rain wherever this place is.
Come fish the Ontario waters of Guardian Eagle Resort. Bring the family and fish for walleyes and pike on 75,000 acres of private water. Fly directly from Minneapolis and be at their concrete runway at the lodge in just 2 hours. It's a really cool place. If you want to just do a quick getaway, you don't want to drive, you don't want to do all kinds... You know, you don't want to be... Maybe you don't want to be in a float plane. Well, this is a pretty nice plane taking off from the Anoka County Airport at Blaine and dropping in right at the lodge at Guardian Eagle. It's a really cool trip. Find out more at guardianeagle.com. All right, we got Joe Henry on the way with the Lake of the Woods Fishing Report and Tony Smotherman. We'll talk muzzleloaders when coming up later in the show.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network, watching this on YouTube, or downloading it wherever you get your favorite podcast. Joe Henry joins us right now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, everyone wants to know what's going on with the Rainy River and the Shiners right now.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, for listeners that don't know, you know, we have that annual fall run, kind of a tradition on the Rainy River. And what happens is a lot of the Emerald Shiners, which is a main forage base in Lake of the Woods, a lot of those minnows will run up the Rainy River from Lake of the Woods. And when they run up the river, of course, the walleyes are close behind. So it creates really what they call the fall run. And it's tradition in these parts. You know, we had a warm week of weather, so not a lot happened this last week. We do know that there are some shiners, I mean, all the way up to Birchdale already. And there are some walleyes in the river. So there's decent fishing. However, most anglers right now are still going out fishing on the main lake. I just had a neighbor go out. Him and his family and friends went out on a charter boat. And, you know, I hate to even throw numbers out because, you know, if you go out and only catch 30 walleyes on your boat, you might be disappointed. But they actually caught over 100 walleyes. Wow. Along with, I think they had a few 24s, a couple 25-inchers, and a 26-inch. I think was the biggest in this trip. So they didn't get the monster fish, but boy, did they get numbers. And, you know, it's interesting, too. There's a lot of jigging taking place right now out on the lake. As we get into the fall, when waters start to chill, the days get, you know, shorter, jigging becomes a technique that's really enjoyable. You go out there and you anchor, basically, amongst these big schools of walleyes and saugers, and you anchor over this, or you jig, sorry, over the side of the boat with, you know, usually a gold or a golden pink or golden glow white or chartreuse or, you know, any combination like that. And you put an emerald shiner on there. They sell, Emerald Shiner is frozen in the area. All the bait shops and even the resorts will sell them. And you put an Emerald Shiner on your hook, and you drop that over the side of the boat. And boy, I tell you, if you're amongst fish, it can be so enjoyable, so relaxing. You're just anchored up, man. You're just anchored up, sitting there, and you're jigging over the side of the boat. Oh, once in a while, you feel a little bump, or you feel a little extra weight, and you miss them, and somebody else gets a bite. And it's interesting, too, because the more you're jigging, it almost creates an ecosystem underneath your boat. So, you know, between minnows coming off, the scales of an Emerald Shiner, the fish activity of fish grabbing that jig and you set the hook and they're fish fighting, all that activity creates more awareness of these fish. And you actually create a kind of an ecosystem underneath your boat while you're jigging. It's really a enjoyable bite.
And I'm not surprised that it's basically still summer pattern to some extent, just because it was, I think we were working on our duck blind this week, Joe, and it was 88 degrees out there. So it doesn't quite feel like fall yet, but some cooler weather in the forecast, so things should start to change.
Wait, I'm smiling because I saw David had that red shirt on that talks about the duck. Let's see your shirt, David. Can you make duck season late again?
Love
and
it.
I saw you guys are paid for by the Minnesota Hunters for an October duck start. You know, I say it's like my shirt, but no, I'll tell you, anglers are still catching walleyes. I'm drifting with bottom bouncers and crawler harnesses, and they're also still catching walleyes throwing crankbaits. So, yeah, it is. It's really kind of that transition time where all three patterns are working right now.
There's a big tournament again this past weekend up there, and some pretty big weights as well, Joe.
Minnesota Tournament Trail, the MTT, really a great, great circuit. And, you know, we're so fortunate to have those guys come to Lake of the Woods, and they come around July 4th, and they also come for their championship, which is the grand poobah of them all. They give away a Skeeter boat motor and trailer, and sharpshooting again, using forward-facing sonar, took the win. Now, this is a catch-record-release tournament. So, you know, when these anglers are catching these big walleyes, they're putting them on a bump board, taking a picture. They're holding them up for a hero shot so you can see the scale patterns, which prevents them from using that fish a second time. And then once they verify they have the picture successfully, they release that walleye. And, you know, as an area, we sure feel good about catch and release tournaments, Brett. There's more and more big walleyes being caught on Lake of the Woods in these tournaments. I mean, this tournament, it was, again, just a hair under a 10-pound average for the fish they had to bring in. And so that's been, you know, that's been all the tournaments. The Ames State Championship was up at Lake of the Woods. We have the David A. Anderson Memorial Tournament. They had the Woods Goods Tournament on Lake of the Woods. All of those tournaments had about a 10-pound average. And, you know, tournament anglers are getting better and better using forward-facing sonar. And it is so interesting. I mean, I'm hearing things about, you want to talk about nuances, you know, using forward-facing sonar, having two or three units on your boat, getting a screen that's much larger, almost the size of a television, which enables you to see the fish on forward-facing sonar that much better. I mean, you know, where's it going to start? A stop, right? But The point is that these anglers have become really good. The other interesting thing with forward-facing sonar to me on Lake of the Woods is that not only are they targeting the largest fish in the system, a lot of these big fish are in the top 10 feet of the water column, even when you're out in 34 feet of water, you know? I heard one of the reports recently, there were some of the, 24s, 25s, and 26s in that top 10 feet of the water column, but those big 30s and 31s, they were laying on the bottom of this tournament. I thought that's interesting. They're differentiating between 25s and 26s going for the 30s and 31s. And that was interesting to me. The other thing that was cool is they talked about how in a post-tournament interview, the winners talked about, I think, or somebody else talked about, it could have been Hunter Nitti. But I think they talked about on Lake of the Woods with a stained water, how you really have to be accurate in your casting. So when you see a fish in clear water, if you get your lure or your jig and crawler close to a walleye, it can see it and it can react. On Lake of the Woods, because of the stained water, you almost have to hit it right in the nose and really be exact. And that's kind of the ticket. Don't you find that interesting?
And you can. I mean, you start to get really dialed in on those fish, and you have your grids on the screen, and you can. Oh, that That fish is crossing over into the next square over there. That's a big one. Like, you can start to dial in how big those fish are, especially if you're out there every day looking at it. I was
on a body of water recently, and I'm just learning my technology that way, and I'm not real good at it yet, arguably. But you know, I was on a lake and I had a school of fish, and I'm like, man, are those walleyes or those crappies? You know, they weren't real big, and finally I got one of them to eat, and it was a 13-inch walleye. And I think, you know, with experience, you know, these anglers really are getting dialed in. They're also getting dialed in on lakes where there's weeds and things. They're able to pick mm-hmm. some of these fish out in the weeds.
Let me ask you, Joe, about, as a tourism director, when you have and Lake of the Woods hosts a lot of tournaments, a lot of them now are this catch and release style tournament, or catch photo release, catch weigh release, whatever it is, catch measure. How important to you as a destination is it to have a tournament where these fish are going back into the water like that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Think about this one. We first off, we love tournaments. I fish tournaments, so I mean, tournaments are it's kind of a fun part of being a big walleye destination. You know, secondly, and certainly there's economics behind it, there's commerce behind it, because we appreciate these anglers coming to pre-fish and then fish in the tournament, and they're putting money into our economy, and that's certainly all part of this, and we really appreciate that. At the same time, can you imagine if you have a tournament circuit with, let's say there's 70 boats, and let's say that, especially with forward-facing sonar now, let's say that only half the boats catch over fish. And let's say that there's, you know, if 35 to 50 big walleyes each day come in live wells, you're catching those walleyes most likely at a deeper, colder water. You're putting those big walleyes into a live well with surface water that's warming up throughout the day because you don't circulate it all day long. And then you're driving those fish potentially across some pretty good sized waves, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 miles across Lake of the Woods. And then you're putting them in a bag and bringing them up to weigh in, and then you're pulling them out of the weigh in, and then you're holding them up for pictures. I mean, the chance of survival for those big fish, even if they swim a little bit when you put them back in the water down in the holding pen at the end of a dock, the chances of survival for that fish are probably pretty slim.
Yeah.
The fact that there's going to be a little bit more of mortality, even with a catch and record release tournament, but most of those fish are going to survive. I'll tell you, as an angler, a couple of things I like about the catch, record, release tournaments. Number one, it sure is nice not have to worry about live well management, yeah. Meaning checking on your fish, putting, you know, ice fishing weights, the clip-on weights, we'd put them on their fins so that they wouldn't tip upside down on the live well, and that they would keep them alive better. Constantly watching them, worrying about them, monitoring. You don't want to lose weight because you have a fish that's dead. You know, there's that part of it. The other part of it is when you catch a big walleye, sure does feel good to take a couple pictures of it, verify your picks, and put that fish back on the side of the boat and watch that thing kick back down. Mm-hmm. That's sustainability of the fishery. And to me, that does feel very good. So as a tourism director or as an angler, as a tournament angler, as whatever hat I put on, I think it feels really good. Now, it does change things, Brett. Yeah. I mean, no longer is a 19-inch walleye on Lake of the Woods valuable. You know, when right. you're fishing a keep tournament, because of our slot limit of 19.5 to 28 inches with one fish over 28, those 19-inch fish were really valuable, and it was fun to target those 19-inch fish. It was fun to think about the strategy. Do we go after our 19s, or do we go for a big one right away? Or do we go try to get our unders, decent unders, and then we'll spend whatever time we have left fishing for a big one? I mean, that was just a whole different tournament. There was more near shore activity going on because you could catch those 19s near shore. More of the big walleyes on Lake of the Woods are offshore as a rule, simply because a lot of them target tulabies, and the tulabies are offshore. So it just changes things from a conservation perspective. Obviously, it's the way most tournament circuits have gone.
That's quite the strategy change. You go after big fish, and then you get one, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we need 19s. You know, that's a different way of thinking. So it's nice in a body of water like Lake of the Woods, where you know you can catch a pile of slot fish and have them count towards your tournament results. So, all right, Joe, if people want to plan a trip this fall or start thinking about ice fishing, what should they do?
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Hunting season will be here before you know it, and it's time to get ready for your next adventure with the OnX Hunt app. Whether you're traveling in search of roosters, elk, waterfowl, or looking to score on a whitetail close to home, OnX Hunt can help you be more successful this season. Route, plan, and navigate with private and public land boundaries, recent imagery, offline maps, and Minnesota-specific hunt layers. Download the Hunt app on the App Store or Google Play and join the millions of hunters that trust OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Get hooked on adventure at Kurtz Island Sports Shop. Reel in the big ones with their Primo fishing gear. From rods that lure envy to bait that fish can't resist. Need a fish whisperer? Kurtz Pros offer guide services to turn your fishing tales into legends. Swing by 824 Highway 51 North in Minocqua and gear up for epic fishing fun. Kurtz Island Sports Shop, where fishing dreams and big laughs are always in stock.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Little breezy today, highs near 80 degrees, showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, showers and storms possible tonight with a low around 47. Then things are cooler, 64 for a high on Sunday, 66 the high on Monday, 68 for Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios. 98 Q Country.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand. Downloading wherever you get your favorite podcast, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube right now, and we're going to talk to Tony Smotherman, who joins us. Tony is the head of influencer relations for BPI Outdoor Brands, Bergara Rifles, CVA. He's published a magazine, produced a TV show, and he joins us now here on the show. Tony, how you doing?
Shoot, man, any better? I couldn't stand it. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I appreciate you coming on. And I want to talk about muzzleloaders. And I know for us here in our region anyway, we don't start thinking about muzzleloaders until later in the season, of course. We got, you know, bow hunting is open. Some of the upland seasons.
I think that's a pretty common scenario for everybody to wait till later on.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I got a funny story about that that I'll share later in the show, actually, about why specifically I wanted to have you on to talk about muzzleloaders. But I just want to talk about, you know, get to me. I haven't met you before, so I want to learn about you a little bit and what you've done, and give our audience a chance to get to know you a little bit too, because sure. from the sounds of it, I mean, you've seen the whole evolution of the outdoor industry from the broadcast over to the digital side of things. I mean, that's been quite the change over the years, hasn't it?
Man, you know, I'll tell you, it is, and I've been very blessed to be in the outdoor hunting industry for, well, better part of my adult life, I guess. I've been working in the industry since I was 19, and you can tell by the gray on the side of my face, I am no longer 19. So I've been in the business probably 31 years or so now, give or take. Started out as an outdoor writer as a very young man. I think I wrote my first article at 19, and then by 22 or 23, I owned the largest hunting and fishing magazine in my home state of Tennessee, and then ran that and operated that for, probably 10 years or so. So I started out as a writer, went into publishing and also writing, and then wrote for a lot of other publications across the country. And after I got up towards my 30s, I guess, if you will, I just wanted a larger platform, and not a larger platform to be some face or celebrity per se. It's really bad terminology, but not sure how to actually quantify that. But actually, I wanted a larger platform to be able to tell the world that the outdoors is an amazing place to be. And when I was a young man, just like every young person, when your body changes and puberty happens, sometimes you lose your mind for a little bit. And I was one of those guys. It was around a wrong crowd that seemed to be pretty thirsty. We stayed thirsty for several years. And thankfully, I had a gentleman that I was in FFA with, or Future Farmers of America class in high school. And he had asked me if I'd ever bow hunted, and I had told him, I was a hunter growing up. I didn't start hunting deer or turkey or anything that you and I know today. I actually started out as a coon hunter. My dad was a world-renowned champion coon hunter, traveled all over the country in competitive coon hunting scenarios. And so I grew up doing that, but then I got a little bit wayward in my young teens. And this gentleman, again, stepped out of the blue and said, "Hey, have you ever shot a bow?" And I said, "No, I have not. but I'd be interested in it because it seems very mechanical, and I'm a mechanical-minded guy. I like building things, and, you know, when you're putting a bow together, there's a lot of building involved, a lot of technique and mechanical side of things, which really intrigued me. So he taught me how to shoot a bow, and then, you know, the old cliche of the rest is history, but the archery world basically captivated me enough to where it pulled me out of those dark depths of partying and all the stuff that I was doing in my mid-teenage years there, and it got me fully focused on the outdoors. And when I started writing, I had an epiphany and realized that basically the outdoors saved me. It pulled me out of doing dumb stuff and got me focused on going outside and shooting my bow, which again just drug me in deeper and deeper and deeper, which led me to where I'm at today as far as in the muzzle loading industry side of things. Because when I started writing, I was a very terrible student in high school. English, as you can probably tell by my slang, is probably not one of my best classes in high school. So I had to learn how to write by reading other people's articles and understanding the ways of putting sentences together and paragraphs together and so on and so forth, and also being able to tell a story. But I wanted to do that because I wanted to make sure people understood that the outdoors is an amazing place, and if it could save me from doing dumb stuff and get me focused on a better life, it also can do the same thing for everybody else. So I started reading all these articles to make myself a better writer. And in order to write an article back in the day, it was more entertaining to read about the big deer that had been harvested across the country. That's what encapsulated me and really dug my focus into understanding how these hunters were, or the processes these hunters were doing to harvest these big whitetails that would show up in North American whitetail and deer hunting and things like that. And so I started traveling to the Midwest because, well, you can only harvest a big deer if you hunt them where they actually live at. Mm-hmm. And being from Tennessee, we didn't have a great big deer population at the time when I was in my teens and 20s, nor were we known for a big buck producing state. So I basically had to pick up stakes and go to where they live. So I started hunting through the Midwest, and that'd be Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, to gather article information, basically. But I had to do it with a weapon that was legal in those states, and it was either shotgun or muzzleloader. And I quickly realized that I was limited to 40 yards with a bow. With a muzzleloader, however, I was not. Mm-hmm. So the catch and release program of the 40-yard standoff went away, and I was hunting deer where they live. So I just naturally migrated into hunting with a muzzleloader full-time for about 20 years. And it's, you know, multiple reasons. The muzzleloading side of things is kind of the same as archery. There's a lot involved in it, a lot of technical stuff. So it was mechanical, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And then also gave me an opportunity to reach out a little bit further than I was with my bow. So I dropped the bow and kind of went away from that and stuck with muzzleloader. And it basically got me a road to recovery and got me out of all the dumb stuff that I was doing. And run the publication for 10 years and had a multitude of writers working for me when we sold the publication. Then went straight into hosting outdoor television shows for about 15 years, and now work full-time as influencer relations for Bagar and CBA. And basically that title is that's a very fancy title that, just so you know, I did not come up with. But what I realize now is, like, all the people that I used to be, they were not called influencers. When I was a writer, when I [S2] Right. [S1] Was a TV show host, when I was a magazine owner, publisher, they were not influencers. But that's just because we had not come up with the word yet. Actually, they were influencers. So now I get to work with all the people that I used to be. I work with writers, podcasters, bloggers, YouTubers, magazine owners, publishers, editors, the writers, the TV show hosts, but on the company side of things. So it's been a very unique pace of life that I've lived through the hunting industry. But now I get the opportunity to help all the people that I have been at some point in my time.
That's an amazing story. And, you know, I've heard it from other people, too, how the outdoors can be, you know, getting into the outdoors is life changing. And I've seen it rescue people. So it's amazing. You know, and I grew up doing radio. I published a magazine. I've hosted a couple of TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think basically we have four YouTube channels now. So you have to, as you know, as the pie got split up, I mean, you had to evolve and adapt with the times if you wanted to stay relevant in all this, didn't you?
Absolutely. Yep, no doubt. And I kind of grew as things were changing. The only thing that I haven't done is what we're doing today. I do a weekly, I don't know, 3 or 4 podcasts a week with great individuals like you that are working to promote the outdoors and get the outdoor voice out there and heard across the country. But I've actually never done one myself. So I've seen the evolution from, and this really dates me, but like when I first started submitting queries to outdoor magazines, I literally had to handwrite the query. Hey, Mr. Editor, I'm looking to write an article about scrape hunting in November in the Midwest using specifically a muzzleloader. And then I would send that snail mail and then hopefully get a return within like 6 months, you know. So, yes, things have changed today to where that I'm sitting at a home in Iowa on a Bluetooth headset, on Wi-Fi, and talking to you guys on a laptop.
It's amazing. And honestly, I would say if you're doing 3 to 4 podcasts already as a guest, just stick with it. It's just going to be way easier just to stay as a guest.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But I do enjoy doing it. I was a radio guy, so it was a natural transition for me. And we got to take a quick break, but just real quick before we go to break, you kind of answered the question already, but my next question for you was going to be, you know, your head of influencer relations. If somebody would have told you 15 years ago that that was going to be your title, what would you have said to them?
I would have said, like, what the heck is that?
Right.
First of all. But, you know, we all have a path. And you know, sometimes it takes us a while to realize that path. And the man upstairs has a plan for us. And, you know, it took a while for me to figure out this location. But we all end up where we're supposed to be, I think.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. All right. Tony Smotherman is our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. We're going to talk about Bergara and CBA and muzzleloaders specifically when we come back.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. With a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing, Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Hey, we got more with Tony here in just a second, but I want to talk about Tazen Lake Lodge real quick. It's a trophy lake trout and northern pike in northern Saskatchewan. It's just a beautiful location. The guys are up there closing up camp right now. They're up there for the fall trout spawn. I heard one of the guests that was up there this past week caught 10 trophy lake trout during their trip up there. So just amazing lake trout, northern pike fishing. Check out Tazen Lake Lodge. Go to TazenLake.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with 98Q Country. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Just download the Civic Media app and listen for your chance to win our statewide contest with 98Q Country.
Go for the Greener Gold is brought to you on 98Q Country by Nemuth Implement in Stetsonville, your authorized dealer for Bush Hog, Bobcat, Mahindra, and more. Offering weekly local delivery. Find them on Facebook or nemuthimp.com.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, radio, maybe YouTube, thank you very much. Our guest is Tony Smotherman right now. And we're going to talk about Bergara rifles and CVA muzzleloaders here in just a second. But we were talking during the break there just for a minute, Tony, about how your TV show is a traveling hunter. And you slept in the back of your truck a lot. And I think there's something cool about that. You know, I used to sleep in the back of my truck, probably not as much as you did. But, you know, and Dan and I travel doing what we do quite a bit, traveled around, and thankfully we normally have a cabin or a hotel we can sleep in. But there's something about just, and not even having like a fancy camper, but just throwing a topper on the back of the truck, crawling in there. I had a cot, and I could fit my cot in on one side, and then I had a big, you know, cooler that I could put right next to me for a cooler, but also for a table. And then I had a dog with me. There was a little space for the dog to curl up. And then I was usually waterfowl hunting, so it was cold. And then I'd have a buddy heater in the corner with a hose running outside to my propane. And then I'd crack the window just a little bit so I didn't die in there. But there's something special about that.
Well, you know, I was always told if you want to do something bad enough in life, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. And I knew that I wanted to be in the hunting community, to spread the word about how awesome the outdoors is. And, of course, when I started that journey of basically figuring out who I was and what I wanted to do, I was poor as a snake, to be honest with you. I couldn't hardly pay attention, let alone do anything else. And of course, there was no Airbnbs and all the stuff that we know today back, again, dating me, when I started this outdoor journey. So I basically had a 1990 Toyota pickup truck with a little topper on the top of it. And I think it was a bedliner called a bed rug. So it was rather soft-ish inside there. They're wonderful. So when I would take off, you know, I would typically take off the end of September and start on the path, per se. Most of it was always hunting public ground because I didn't have any friends in the Midwest. I just had a vision and a dream that I want to accomplish something, and I did whatever it took to get there. When I was in high school, I worked for a company called AutoZone, and I did mention that I'm mechanical. I love building things, and that's bows, muzzleloaders, classic trucks, hot rods, all that kind of – anything mechanical I'm all into. So I worked at AutoZone in high school, and one of their their company slogan that they make you learn before you start working – and it's an acronym, and it's called WITIGER. And WITIGER stands for whatever it takes to do the job right. So I realized when I was embarking on this outdoor journey that I had to do whatever it took to do the job right. And that was, number one, hunt deer where they live, the big deer, hunt them where they live. And that was through the Midwest. And the only way that I was able to capitalize on that was sleep in the back of my truck for 6 months. So, you know, just part of the journey, you know, everybody I talk to a lot of people through what I do today at BPI or Bagar and CBA, and everybody has a story to tell. My story is I wanted to write articles. I needed information to do it. I wanted to do it with a muzzleloader. Had to do it in the Midwest, and I had to do it out of the back of my truck for most of that time.
Well, and you went from working at AutoZone and then to go hunt the big deer, you had to get in the zone. Huh?
I did have to get in the zone. That, hey, nice. Pun intended, baby.
Thank you very much.
That's going to be stuck in my head
the rest of the day. Get in the zone. Oh, man. I grew up rifle hunting in Wisconsin. We had a cabin in northwest Wisconsin, and that's kind of where I grew up deer hunting. And there were some years where, you know, we all know the story of Wisconsin gun season, the 9-day gun season. It's like more armed people than most of the countries in the world. And most of them are great, but there were times where, you know, we'd be hunting land we had permission for. We had basically had a lease on some woods, and guys would just come push our woods anyway. And the Orange Army would just come plowing right through, just didn't care, trespassing all over the place, shooting all over the place. Like I still do it once in a great while, but usually I bring my bow over there. But I, you know, and then I moved to North Dakota and I hunted a little bit there, and I had friends going out to hunt the Badlands. They said, if you want to draw a rifle tag for the Badlands, it's going to take you a good 5-6 years, probably, even as a resident. So they all went out and bow hunted, and I'm like, I got to check out this bow hunting thing. So I went to Shields, I bought a bow, and, I think I gun hunted one more time after that. I have strictly bow hunted ever since. I fell in love with it. You can hunt longer. You can go a lot more places and get a bow tag a lot easier. It's easier to travel with it. And then last year was the second year in a row I didn't fill a tag. And I was like, if I would have had a gun, and we're in a shotgun zone here, and shotguns for deer hunting are just garbage. Like, it's worthless. I won't even do it. But, you know, all my buddies started buying muzzleloaders. And I'm like, oh, let's see. Our muzzleloader season is late, and it's after the gun season. And, you know, I could have probably shot a deer with a muzzleloader last year. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go buy one this year. And a week earlier at our local store here, they were fully stocked with muzzleloaders. And then as soon as the gun season ended, wiped out. So I don't know if that's common or if that was just a real tough year for our gun hunters last year or what, but the muzzleloaders wiped out. So then I just tried to bow hunt the rest of the season. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because now I want to learn a little bit more about muzzleloaders. I want to get into it. And I, you know, I don't know a lot about it. And I want to just have you tell me a little bit about CVA. Give me a little bit of history about the company before we get into, you know, what somebody going to muzzleloaders for the first time, what they should think about.
Well, you know, I'd say it's a rather complex subject. I mean, there's a lot of technical data to it, but if you don't overthink it, it's not too awful bad. You know, basically it's powder bullet clean, powder bullet clean scenario. But at the CVA brand, we're the world's largest muzzleloading manufacturer. We've been building muzzleloaders since 1971, and that is starting out with the original octagon barrel, side hammer, side lock muzzleloader that everybody thinks about, the Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett scenario. But, you know, we did touch on technology is a wonderful thing, and technology has finally stepped into the muzzleloading world. And Tony Knight, basically the modern inventor of the inline muzzleloader that we all know today as a muzzleloader. Oddly enough and wonderfully enough, I had the opportunity to work with Tony Knight at Knight Muzzleloaders from 1992 until 2009. So I had a pretty long stint there, which is kind of what got my start per se in the muzzleloading industry, actually working in the industry. But, you know, there's a few things that people look at muzzleloaders and they think, oh, you know, they're dirty and they're nasty and they're hard to clean. And, you know, there was some of that back in the day. But again, modern technology has touched everything, not only the manufacturing process of how we build the guns today as far as barrels, twist rates, material, action designs, all that kind of stuff. But it also has touched the projectiles that we manufacture, the powders that we manufacture. And when I started hunting with a muzzleloader, it was a bit frustrating because the powders were extremely nasty. They were so dirty, so corrosive, eat your gun all to pieces. And literally, when we would get done at a range shooting for the day or come in from a hunt, I'd literally have to take my muzzleloader and soak it in a bathtub with a Joy or a Dawn, like a dishwashing detergent. It's a grease cutter to be able to clean those muzzleloaders. So I'm surprised I didn't get deterred from using muzzleloader back in the day because they were kind of a pain in the rear. But again, I had to hunt big deer where they live, and it took a muzzleloader to do that. But technology has changed, and basically today the available accessories and products that's on the market makes everybody's life so much easier. And muzzleloading is a growing sport. Oddly enough, you know, at this point in time, we're post-COVID, but COVID changed a lot of stuff. As we know, as adults, Americans, everything changed that we touch and see because of that. But it also changed muzzleloaders too a little bit, for the sheer fact of, I think people finally come to realize that, well, red meat didn't come from the Kroger or IGA or whatever the particular shopping center is in your portion of the world. So muzzleloader season become very popular as of COVID, even through the western states, because it was a season that not a lot of people took part in. Like you talked about with the archery stuff, it was a pretty easy tag to draw because people just didn't want to mess with a muzzleloader. But COVID changed that, and now muzzleloaders are a huge and hot topic from the far east coast to all the way to the west coast. So I hated to see COVID happen, but I am very proud that it did change people's look and feel and thought process into muzzleloaders.
It's kind of amazing what COVID did for the outdoor industry. You know, there's a little bit of a I don't know if recoil is the right word for it right now. I mean, it was a big peak, and maybe it's coming down a little bit now, but I mean, just the fact we've been trying to look at ways to introduce more people to the outdoors. We joked about this during COVID all the time. We've been trying to find ways to introduce people to the outdoors for years, and all it took was a pandemic.
I mean, again, there's always a plan.
That's right.
There's always a plan, and you know, we saw the good in that bad, which was very bad for everybody across the country. But there has been some good come of it, and it has put a lot of new people into the hunting side of things. License are up. It's bad for us guys that like to go out west. We have more people applying for those tags. Nonetheless, it has been positive. It has been very positive for the muzzleloading side of things that we do. It's been also very positive for the straight wall cartridge stuff that we do. You know, we do build center fire rifles. We do build break open single shot rifles that are highly popular in straight wall caliber configurations, the 350 Legend, the 450 Bushmasters, the new ones come in, the 400 Legend, the 360 Buckhammer. It has created a wave of those guns too in their popularity, because a lot of the states have changed over from muzzleloading seasons to more of a primitive weapon season that would get other people involved in those original muzzleloader only seasons, and now they can use these straight wall cartridges. So it has been a huge increase for outdoor hunting, recreational lifestyle since COVID.
We got to go to the podcast. So for our radio listeners, we're going to go to the podcast if you want to hear more of this conversation. But thank you for tuning in on the network. Join us on YouTube or download this podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.
Leaning into local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first in-person votes cast in three states Friday, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Virginia, where Lucy Mize said she had planned to vote for President Biden, but
I am very glad that our vice president is now the candidate. I think she's very strong, and I like her messages. We won't go back, turn the page, going forward.
And Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin and Georgia on Friday. A new policy passed by the Republican-controlled Georgia Board of Elections could impact the timing of the vote count. It requires the hand counting of all ballots. It's expected to be challenged in court. Former President Trump will be in North Carolina tonight. The candidate he endorsed for Governor Mark Robinson not expected to attend after a CNN report of alleged inflammatory comments made by Robinson on a pornography website message board. He called the report salacious tabloid lies. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest on the Kennedy ballot case. The Wisconsin Supreme Court announced Friday they will be deciding whether or not Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s name will need to remain on the ballot. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will be trying to reach a decision as expeditiously as possible, as election clerks have already begun sending out absentee ballots with Kennedy's name on them. Kennedy has been trying to remove his name from the ballot in battleground states in an effort to not take away votes from Donald Trump, whom he endorsed in August. Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a bill to help businesses who rely on a cold, snowy winter when we won't exactly get one. We had a mild winter last season, slowing down tourism. Seven counties across northern Wisconsin lost an approximate $6.5 million. The Winter Recreation Small Business Recovery Act would help small businesses qualify for disaster relief when they don't have the weather they need to thrive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, but I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're